That song said he's homeless, despised, and rejected. When I sang that, I thought there's no one on this earth that he cannot identify with. He can identify with every level, every person, whatever level of society that person's in, our Lord can identify. Tell me the story. Turn to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. I'm going to read the first 16 verses. The title of the message is A Bright Future. A Bright Future. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit which ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people. That's to us this morning. That's to us. Listen to me, my people. That's what he's saying. Hearken to me, my people, and give ear unto me. Give attention, pay attention. O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arm shall judge the people. The isle shall wait upon me. And on mine arm shall they trust. And we know who that arm is. Says in Isaiah 53, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's Jesus Christ. The arm of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, shall be forever. We don't have to worry about death. Death has no power over us. My body here that you're looking at is going to be laid in the grave, but I'm not going to die. He that believeth in me shall never die. I'm going to change places. I'm just going to change places is what I'm going to do. And my righteousness shall not be abolished. It will not be destroyed. Hearken unto me now. How many times has he said this? Third time? Listen to me. I have to say that to my kids, you know, when my boys were growing up. Now listen to me. You have to say that to kids every now and then. Now listen, pay attention. Hearken, listen to me, you that know righteousness. You that know the righteousness of God in Christ. You know that know His righteousness. The people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men. Don't be afraid of men. Don't be afraid of what's going on. Lord, do we get carried away with that, don't we? He's telling us, don't be afraid. I've got this under control. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth, now look here what he said. It doesn't say some great thing. A moth. He shall hear the weakness of what you and I, what they are and what we've become afraid of at times. He shall hear the weakness. He said a moth shall eat them up. The moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever. Ever. And my salvation from generation to generation. Now, verse 9 through 16 is where I'm going to, I hope to bring the message this morning. Awake, awake. This is the church speaking here in verse 9. Awake, awake, put on strength. O arm of the Lord. It's as if they're asking for the Lord to awake, to rise up, and to help in Christ's name, because He is the arm of the Lord. Awake as in the ancient days in the generations of old. Art thou not it that hath cut Rahab or Egypt and wounded the dragon? Art thou not it which hath dried the sea and the waters of the great deep, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over? Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their head. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. I am he that comforts you. Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the son of man which shall be made as grass? And you forget the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and hath feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy, as if God had no power over him. You know, I'll tell you this. Remember this. The devil is God's devil. He's nothing more than a pit bull on a chain. If he were, and where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hasteneth that he may be loosed, and that he should not die in the pit, and that his bread should fail. But I am the Lord, thy God. He's not an idol sitting on a shelf. I'm the Lord, thy God, that divided the sea, whose waves roared, the Lord of hosts, of many, is his name. And I put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundation of the earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. We have a bright future. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for your word that we have just read. Help us to find real encouragement this morning. Help us to set our affection on things above, where Christ sits at thy right hand. Help us to give unto you the glory and the honor that's due unto your name. Help us to truly worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. Thank you for your mercies. Lord, there are too many to reckon up in order. Thank you for Jesus Christ, the one in whom we are complete. Thank you for him. Thank you for salvation. Lord, thank you for not leaving us alone. Help me to preach. Lord, make your word to go forth in power. Make me a blessing to these people this morning. Help me to rightly divide the word of truth. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. And amen. As we read, the Lord had been speaking words of comfort to his people in the first 8 verses. In verse 9, the church prays for God to awake and to help her, as he had done in times past. It says in verse 9, awake, awake. Now, God's not asleep. We know that. We know that. But there are times that our situation we know to be urgent, and we ask God to rise up and deliver, to help us. We know that the God of Israel never slumbers or sleeps. We know that. He never grows weary like we do. He's ever present with his people. We are not always able to detect his presence, but God is ever present. And not, we heard this morning, Christ in you. Can you be any more present than that? Could he be any more present than being in you? The scripture says this in the Psalms. He is in the midst of her. He shall help her. And that right early. I want you to notice, they recognized His help and power on past generations. They never delivered themselves. And they recognized that. There was never a time that Israel looked back and said, look what we did. They always looked back and said, the Lord delivered us there. The Lord delivered us there. In Psalm 107, every time they cried, they get in trouble. Every time they cried to the Lord, you read that psalm, and it says, He delivered. He delivered. And it's good to recognize God's help in times past. In the troubles I'm in now, whatever trial I may be going through now, it's good to remember my past with all the mercies that God has had on me in the past. Because as He has done, so shall He do. He never changes. His mercies are new every morning. They're faithful. He's faithful. They're new every morning. His mercies are. And they recognize that the past generations that He had helped. And that gave them courage. And it gave them power in their prayer. And even so it is with us. He is our strength. He is our help in time of trouble. In every time of trouble. Every time. They recognize Him as the God who cut off Rahab or Egypt and wounded, they said, the head of the dragon. He said to Pharaoh, I raise him up to show my power, demonstrate my power in him. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him? Well, he found out, didn't he? He found out. Let us never recognize anyone. Listen now. Let us never recognize anyone or anything as our deliverer. God is. God is. Here's what I'm saying. God is a God of means. Is He not? Let's not get caught up with the means and forget the one who really is the one who delivers. God. God. Don't get caught up with the means that God uses. God is my deliverer. That's what they're saying. So let's never recognize anyone but God as our true deliverer. He is the one who has delivered us from the power of sin. I could not overcome sin. Brother, if you understand what sin is, you know you can't overcome it by yourself. You can't do it. He's the one who has delivered us from the power of Satan, the power of darkness. That's what it says over Colossians 1. I read it this morning. And translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He delivered us from the power of darkness. And translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. He delivered us from death. I don't have to fear death. You don't have to fear death. You believe God, you don't have to fear death. Death has no power over you. Has no power. He is our true deliverer. And here's the voice of faith in verse 10. Are you not the one who dried the sea? See how they're looking back. They're looking back on the power of God, the deliverance of God. Are you not the one who dried the sea? The waters of the great deep. The waters of the great deep. Faith looks to the same God who changes not. The very God who parted the sea is my God. Same one, same power. He's not any weaker. Time has no effect on the power of God. It has effect on me, but not on Him. Not on Him. Faith looks to the same God who changes not in every generation. In every generation, He's the same. In every generation, He's the one who delivers. I have two grandchildren, 10 and 12. The same, if they're ever going to be saved, the same God that saved me will have to save them. And when generations are come and gone, everyone whom God saves will be saved by the same one, in the same way, the same gospel. It will not change. It will not change. God did for them the impossible. And this is what, this is another thing that they're saying. Are you not the one who dried the sea? The waters of the great deep? Are you not the one that did that? You know what they are saying? You're the one that did the impossible. Unheard of. Unheard of. You split the sea. And you dried up the sea. Are you not the same one? Are you not the one that dried up the great deep? This has always been a mark that they look back to for assurance. That their God is able. Our God is able. He's able to deliver. But here's the point. Here's the point. He did the impossible. Can sin be put away? Who can do that? Can sin be put away? Can God be a just God and save a wretch like me? Can God do the impossible? It's impossible for you and me to put away sin. I can't put it away. All the repentance, all the weeping in the world that I could do for sin won't put one sin away. Repentance has never put away sin. Faith does not put away sin. Can God put away my sin? Can God be still be a just God and save a wretch like me? If a man dies, shall he live again? Can God raise me from the dead and take me to glory? Can He do the impossible? Absolutely. 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 That which is impossible with men is what? Possible with God. It's impossible. You remember that woman who had the issue of blood? She went and seen all these physicians. It says she spent all her money and was not any better. But rather, it said, but rather grew worse. She rather grew worse. And then she heard of Him. She heard of Him. And she said, if I can but touch the hem of His garment, I'll be made whole. And she touched the hem of His garment, and what happened? She was made whole. She was made whole. He said, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples were, he said, it's as hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven as it was for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And you know what he did next? The very next chapter, you know what he did? He saved a rich man, Nicodemus. He saved a rich man. Well, Zacchaeus, I think it was. Zacchaeus. He saved a rich man. What's impossible with men is possible with God. It's possible with God this morning to save any man, any woman, any young person in this congregation, if He so will. If He says live, I guarantee you will live. Just like that child in Ezekiel. Can God be a just God and a Savior? Absolutely. Through the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, God can save me. God can do that. God can raise the spiritually dead. Nobody can do that. Nobody but God can do that. God can do the impossible. So don't be afraid to ask Him to. Brethren, we ought to ask great things of God. Our God is great. Our God is great. And our prayers ought to be great. We ought to expect great things of God. Shouldn't we? God is great. God's grace is great. He can save the vilest of men. Look here at what He did in verse 10. He says, to finish out this verse, that hath made the depths of the sea a way for the ransom to pass over. No one thought about that. Israel comes up against the Red Sea. You got Pharaoh's army behind him. It looks like you're trapped. I'm sure Pharaoh was excited. You big dummies, you go up against the sea. Don't you know how to fight? Don't you know how to maneuver? God put them in that position to make them see His glory, His power to save, and to completely trust Him. To completely trust Him for deliverance. A way that no man thought of. Moses didn't think of that. Moses didn't come up to the Red Sea and say, "All right, Lord, part the sea." Part. He didn't think of that. He was concerned about what was going on behind him as the rest of the people were. No, he didn't think of that. Just as God thought and purposed to make Christ the way for the ransom to pass over. Jesus Christ is the way to God. Now, who would have thought of that? Who would have thought of that? He is the way from sin to holiness. He is the way from banishment to acceptance. He is the way from death to life. Who would have thought that God would part the sea and the ransom, Israel, God's elect, would pass over safely? And Pharaoh thought, "Well, I'll just take that same path and get him." What happened? He drowned that whole army. You know, that's what my sins are like. They're just like that army. Drowned. Gone. Cast into the depths of the sea. Gone. Who would have thought that God would become a man? Who would have thought that God would take upon Him flesh and bone, go to the cross, die on the cross? See, Israel didn't expect that. They weren't expecting that. They didn't expect God to become a man. They didn't expect God to come into this world as a babe in a manger. As is over in Isaiah 53, He grew up as a tender plant, a babe. They didn't expect that. He said, "One place, I'll bring them by a way that they knew not." They didn't expect that. Who would have thought that God would send His Son into this world, take upon Him our sins, go to the cross, put them away, and He, God Himself, David said this, "God has become my salvation." God Himself has become the way for the ransom to pass over. Who would have thought? Who would have thought it? Therefore, in verse 11, therefore, because of who their God is and His power to save them, the redeemed of the Lord shall return. He knows where these people are. They're going to return from the east, the west, the north, the south, all over this globe. All over this globe. They shall return out of captivity. Sin, we have this promise, sin shall not have dominion over them. It won't have dominion over you. You're not under the law, you're under grace. The law has been satisfied. You're not under it law no more. They shall return from destruction to restoration. And how shall they return? How is these people going to return? Look at verse 11. They're going to come with singing unto Zion. That's how they're going to return. And everlasting joy shall be upon their forehead. They shall be a happy people. A happy people. I know that we have our times of sorrow. I know that. I know that in this life, we have, especially as you get older, you have more of those times. You have more of those times. But joy is our lot. He promised us joy is our lot. Everlasting joy shall be ours in the end. Not everlasting punishment, everlasting joy. And sorrow and mourning, he says, shall flee away. Whatever it is right now that's causing me to mourn and to cry and break my heart, in a little while, all of that's gone. It's all gone. It may not feel like it's ever going to leave. But God assures us that someday, it's going to leave and there's going to be everlasting joy. That's all that's going to remain. It's hard to grasp, isn't it? It's hard to grasp in this life. Eternal happiness. There's coming a day when we will never know sadness. Never know it. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine it. There's coming a day where I'll never know sorrow again. It will not be in our vocabulary. It won't be in our vocabulary. You'll not find things like sin and sadness and sorrow and heartaches and war. You won't find it. You won't find that. We have a bright future coming. He says in verse 12, you say, how's that? I am he that comforts you. I'm giving you my word on this. Comfort you one another with these words, says over in Thessalonians. I am he that comforts you. Don't look for comfort from this world. Colossians, it says, set your mind on things above. If you be risen with Christ, set your mind, your affection on things above, where Christ sits at God's right hand, and you won't be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. But brother, if you and I have set our hearts on this world, it's going to end in disappointment. It's going to end in that way. Christ said, come to me, all you laboring, heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's our rest from all the turmoil and stuff that's going on. He's the rest. He's the rest of all the turmoil that goes on inside of me over sin. And he's my rest from all the turmoil that goes on in this world. He's my rest. He's my captain. He's the captain of our salvation. And he's Lord over all. Overall, he's given us the gospel that comforts us. His Spirit, the Spirit that comforts us, called the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and he's called the God of all comfort. I am he that comforts thee. Who art thou? Who art thou that thou shouldst be afraid of a man that he shall die? Who are you? Think about this. They said, who are you that you should be afraid of a man that shall die and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? We have no written. I believe this. I can't perfect it. I can't make it happen. But I believe it. And I keep coming back to it. I never have a reason to be afraid. How many times he say in Isaiah, "Fear not, fear not"? How many times he say to his disciples, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful?" We have no reason to be afraid of a mortal man. You know, the Lord said one time, "Don't fear them who can kill the body. I tell you who to fear. Fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell." I was talking to a man one time years ago. Talked to him about the gospel. And I asked him, I said, "What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of?" He said, "I don't want to go to hell." He said, "I don't want to go to hell." I said, "Well, you fear the wrong thing. You're afraid of the wrong thing. You fear the wrong thing." I said, "If you find favor with the judge, you don't have to be afraid of the prison, do you?" I said, "That's what all meaning means with it. It has you going to a place. It has salvation to do with a place. Missing hell, going to heaven. Salvation has nothing to do with the place. It has everything to do with the person. It has everything to do with being made one with God in Christ again. It's not trying to miss a place and go to a place. It has to do with being made one with God in Christ. I pray, Father, that they be one as we are one." He said, "I pray that they miss hell and go to heaven. No, that they be with me in what? Behold my glory, the glory I have with you before the world was." That's what salvation is. I want to be saved from my sins. I'm not concerned about a place. I'm concerned about my relationship to God. That's what I'm concerned about. Well, Satan is so subtle. He has our mind on the prison house. We have no reason to be afraid of a man. Solomon said this, "The fear of man," now listen, "the fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man will cause you to compromise the gospel." It'll cause you to compromise the gospel. If we fear the lesser, then everything else will scare us to death. It will. You'll be scared to death all the time. Every time you turn the news on. But if you have a right fear of God, you can turn the news off. "I don't need to listen to that. Doesn't matter. I know what's going on. I live on this earth. I know what's going on. And I know who's running it. I know who's ultimately running it. And I live that. And I want to live under that. I want to live God conscious. Always conscious of Him who's on the throne. Notice how God points out the frailty of man here. He shall die. He'll be made like grass. You know what we do with grass? You just mow it. The beginning of wisdom, the scripture says, is the fear of God. I tell you this, the end of wisdom is when you fear anything less than God. Anything. It says in Psalm 56:3, this is one of my favorite psalms that I often remember. "What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee." Even when I'm afraid of God. Job said that. Job said, "When I consider Him, I'm afraid." He just went through losing all his kids. He went through losing everything he had. And he said, "The Lord giveth." He didn't say Satan takes it away. He didn't say the Lord gives and Satan takes it away. He said, "The Lord gives and the Lord taketh away." And sometimes to take him is very painful. Sometimes it is. And he says here, you're afraid of me and you forget the Lord thy maker. I'll wind this down. You forget the Lord thy maker. When we fear men, it's evident we've forgotten God. What an indictment. You have forgotten me. Listen, you forget the Lord thy maker that has stretched forth the heavens. The next time you're afraid, stretched forth the heavens and laid the foundation of the earth. The next time you're afraid, walk outside and look up into heaven. My God made that. My God keeps it as keeps it. By Him all things exist. All things are sustained. In Colossians chapter 1. I've often thought about this. I've often, when I've gone through some trouble, I look into the heavens. I look into the vast universe. The millions and millions of galaxies and stars, and they're all in their place, and they stay in that place. That sun comes up every day and races across the sky, goes down and comes up. There's the moon. Can my little problems scare me? That God can't handle it? That God can't handle it? That's what it says. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker that hath stretched forth the heavens? Who else? You know anybody else can do that? You know anybody else can do it? And laid the foundations of the earth? Next time they show you see the earth on television from outer space, they show the earth, sit there in the strings holding it. Sit there in the strings attached. It's just there. You know why? It's hanging there. Now listen. It's hanging there by the Word of God. By the Word of His power. I'm not afraid of a meteorite slamming into this earth. If it does, whatever it does, He's already a purpose to do so. Here's what he's saying. Have you forgotten my power? Have you forgotten who I am? Have you forgotten that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein? And you have feared continually because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy, as if he were on his own? It's like the devil. Is the devil running out there loose? I told you, he's on a chain. We used to, when I was a kid, we'd take a June bug and tie a string to his leg. And it would fly. It would. It would just fly. We just let that thing wear itself from out. It falls to the ground. I'm telling you. Satan is like that. When he came before God, God said, "Where you been?" It's not that he didn't know. He was just making him accountable. He was making him accountable. He said, "I've been going to and fro up and down the earth." And we know he does that to seek whom he may devour. And God, I want you to know, God brought up Job. Satan didn't bring him up. God brought him up. God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And he says, "Well, I can't do anything. You got a hedge about him." There is a hedge about you just like there was about Job. And he absolutely has to have permission to even look your way. If you fear continually every day, "Oh, this is going to happen. If this is going to happen. If this one gets in, if this one don't get in, you know, we're going to be a mess." Well, we're a mess anyway. What are you talking about? We're a mess anyway. I tell you, set your affection on things above, where Christ sits at God's right hand. He's the one orchestrating all this. This is no way to live in fear. There's no way for a believer to live in fear at all. Not at all. I am just as safe. Listen. If I were standing on the battlefield and bullets flying all around, I'm just as safe as I am standing here. Now, I would advise me to duck, but I'm telling you the truth, I'm just as safe. You use wisdom now. It's like you use the wisdom that God gives you. You know, you don't just stand up and say, "Well, I'm a child of God and nothing's going to happen." Well, I would advise you to duck. But I know this, I'm just as safe there as I am here. just as safe. Because someone said this one time, we are immortal until God makes us mortal to take us home. There are two ways to deal with reality. Two or three ways to deal with reality. One is just grab yourself up. Just dope yourself up. Don't deal with it. Another one is just lie to yourself. This ain't real. Just lie to yourself. This is not happening. Like the ostrich. Stick your head in the sand. Well, the other one, just believe God. Be still. Know that I'm God. That's what he said, isn't it? That's what he said. Be still. Know that I'm God. I'm doing this. Trust me. I've said that to my boys before. I said, well, Dad, what are you doing? I said, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. Just trust me. That's what I'm. Be still. Know that I'm God. Just trust me. He said, I'm the Lord that dried up the sea. The Lord of hosts is his name. Look to me for help. I'm the one. Look to me for salvation. I'm the one. I put my words in thy mouth. These are the words of God, what we have this morning. You've read it. I've read to you. Read to you to our Colossians, out of Isaiah 51. These are the words of God that I've been reading to you. I've covered thee in the shadow of my hand. I've kept you. I protect you. I'll keep you. Keep you like the apple of my eye. I will keep thee under the shadow of my hand. Listen, that's protection. Under the shadow of his hand, watching over me. I'll keep thee there until I plant the new heaven, new earth, and say to Zion, you're my people. Now I'm going to finish by reading Revelation chapter 21, and I'll finish. I've gone a little too long. Revelation chapter 21. Here's our future. Here's our future. I'm going to read it to you. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his God, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write this down. For these words are true and faithful. Stick that on your refrigerator. These words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. It's done. With God, all this, you know, with God, it's all done. It's already done. You and I just got to experience it. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Brethren, that's our future. I'm telling you, we have a bright future. We have a bright future. Outside of Christ, that's bad news. Bad news. Okay.
$200